The Elvis Cast with Grant Bench.
Thanks for joining us as we continue the memories of our friend Sue in Vegas, and this time she's talking about how she tried to get hold of Elvis at Graceland.
The next moment where I'm trying to get a hold of Elvis is I finished Navy boot camp. So this is March 76. I get to Memphis, and it's all new to me. I'm in my uniform. That's all I have is my sea bag and my uniform. I order a taxi, and I said, do you know where Elvis's house is? And the guy goes, do I know where Elvis's house is? And then I realized, I went, oh, that was so stupid. Of course. But I'm 19. What the hell do I know? So I get to the gates, and I don't know who was there, but somebody was really nice to me. And he says, oh, I hate to tell you, Elvis is still on tour. I'm like, oh, God. I found out way later when the book came out, Elvis Day by Day, and I'm looking at it in the bookstore because that's the first thing I wanted to look. March 76, I missed Elvis by 3 days. Oh. I bawled my eyes out right there in the bookstore. So there you go again, so close yet so far. I go across the street, and they have that phrase, you know, spending money like a sailor. Oh, yeah, baby. And I spent it all in the record store across the street. I finished my 45 collection. And since I had nothing else to do, I asked the store owner, hey, can I play some records? And he goes, oh, sure. So I took off my jacket, and I'm dancing and singing, you know, very quietly with all the Elvis records. And some guy came in, and I guess after about 10 minutes of that, he goes, what's this with her playing the records? And he says, she just spent a lot of money in here. She can do whatever she wants. So I spent the afternoon playing all those 45s. And I didn't make it back to Graceland till 2000. The heartbreak story that I got to share is I was newly married, and we were traveling across the country. And we were going through Memphis, and I begged my new husband, please, can I go to Graceland? He says, we don't have the time. I can't do it. And it's kind of like later I look back at that and I go, you know, this let you and allowed and all that kind of stuff, like, boo to you, you know? So I remember looking out the window and just crying. It was as we saw the Mississippi go by. So when I finally got there in 2000, it's like I had all these years of pent-up emotion. I'm finally here. I'm with some friends. God, I had a ball. And it was for his birthday. And I got to say, I'm one of the early people. I guess the tradition had already started. But you got to remember, this is 2000. And we stood at the gates, and we got permission for fireworks. And at the stroke of midnight, you know, from 7 into 8, we sang happy birthday, and we lit off the fireworks. I'm glad to see that that's still happening, but I'm also glad to say I was one of the early ones. So finally, I'm able to take the tour of Graceland. And I remember being kind of anxious because I knew I was going to see the grave. So I'm enjoying the whole tour, and we get to the meditation garden. And I'm standing in there looking at his grave. And I got to tell you, I'm wearing blue suede shoes and a pink jacket with black slacks. That was my Elvis outfit. And then I started thinking, okay, this is the closest I've been to you since December 1976. And then I just fell apart. I remember I had to sit down. I was crying so hard because I had waited since 1977 to be there. And, of course, it meant a lot to me. And when I see anybody else feeling like that there, I sure know what that feels like. I've been to Memphis a few times since then. Sometimes it's been very emotional. I remember when I handed over the plaque for the star, the one that you can hang on the wall. And I'm handing it to Angie Marchese so she can put it in the archives. That was a big moment. I remember being in Memphis and seeing it on display in the racquetball court. Oh, I was crying there. I said, how proud am I to see this? And when I was thinking about giving the star to them, I said, I'm going to sign the back. And I remember when I was doing that, I cried a lot. And so I'm standing there looking at it on display, and I said, there's a piece of me that's going to be at Graceland forever. Because I signed the back. Not taken away from any of the donors. You know, I never, ever want to do that. We could have never done it with them. And the great people I met and the happy memories I have of the whole darn thing mean so very much to me. But still, to stand there. And I would tell other people, you can go see the star. It's there on display at Graceland. Go see your star. And I would hear of it or see pictures of people doing that. Now it's in storage because they changed the museum and they put the racquetball court back to its original look. I've even had friends of mine go ask around, well, where is it? Oh, it's in storage. So that's it. It's not going to be on display unless they have a certain theme or whatever. Oh, I got to tell you another great Las Vegas story. So my friend Richard Marino, and Elvis called him Reno. And in fact, I don't know about, I see there's pictures he told me about and an audio on a bootleg that Elvis mentions his name. Richard told me a ton of great stories about Elvis at the Hilton because he worked there from 69 to 73. And whenever he would talk about Elvis, he would get very emotional. Okay, so I was going to say something about the star. See, this is what I go off on a tangent, and I can't remember. Give me a minute, Grant. You still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Hello?
I'm just sitting back.
You're just soaking it in. I was just like,
I don't need to say much. I just listen to the story.
Yeah, just let me do. And I knew this was going to happen. Just, you know, get me start talking about Elvis. And it's like, okay, you know, I got so much to share.
Because it's like that first night we were sitting in the first time I met you, and you said in your mind, you told me after that you're only going to stay for half an hour. And then once we got talking Elvis, it was like, No, this guy's really into it. Let's go.
Yeah, it goes on. And I've done this with other people too. Yeah, well, I told you I was talking with Bill, the spa guy, and he eventually had to cut me off. He goes, Sue, my cell phone's going to die. The battery is dead. He says, I definitely got to talk to you some more so I can put all of this on my show.
You do. You need to be on the spa guy. Yeah. You're talking about Richard Marino and
Yeah. Well, I also know Trey.
Oh, you know Trey too.
There was a project. Say again?
You know them too.
Yeah, I did a project with them, and that's totally off topic, and maybe I'll get back to it later. Oh, what was I going to talk about? Richard, because so many wonderful stories that I try to repeat. He's passed away. He's got a mention in a book about Elvis in Las Vegas. I was so thrilled to see him quoted in there, a memory of his. Well, that's going to have to come back to me, and it was pretty important. It's almost like I should, while I'm saying one thing and talking another, I should write it down.
Yeah, when you start talking about one thing and you in your mind, oh, I must mention this, you finish that story.
Yes, exactly.
What was I talking about?
So there was the, of course, I was talking about the star being in Memphis, trying to fill in the blanks on the shows. I think that's what I was going to get to. There was a memory, another kind of memory about one of the shows. Oh, like, because I said it was a Las Vegas story. It'll come back in my mind, I think. Well, I can tell you another Las Vegas story. This comes to mind because Richard knew one end of it and my brother knew the other. He went to a department store in our neighborhood, and when he walked in, somebody was crying and everybody else was excited. And he said, what happened here? And they said, Elvis was just here. He was in the gun shop. And when Kevin told me the story, two things, like, why couldn't I have been there? And the other one is, wow, he came this close to my house. Woo! So I'm telling Richard this story. He says, I know what happened from my point of view. I said, oh, gosh, tell me. He said that Elvis, one day, he was just interested in wanting to buy some guns. And he asked the security guards, and they said, oh, there's this local department store that sells guns. I also learned from stories from other fans, the same department store had another location on Maryland Parkway that was closer to the Hilton, so Elvis would go there as well. So they drive all the way up what's called West Sahara, near Valley View, so the store doesn't exist anymore. And they're in the gun store, and they're looking at guns. And one of the security guards says, you want to see a pretty gun? Let me tell you about this gun. He goes, which one is it? So he points it out to Elvis, and he said, isn't this gun great? I've been looking at it for a long time, and someday I'm going to have it. And Elvis goes, you really, really like this gun? He says, oh, yeah, I just love it. He says, let me get it for you. And the security guard was beside himself. You know, of course, he said, oh, don't do that. You know, I'm going to get it myself. But Elvis insisted, and he was just thrilled to pieces about Elvis buying him this desired gun. And so Richard finishes the story, and I said, isn't that cool? Here's my brother's story, and there's your story, and we can connect the dots. Because I remember one time the newspaper was looking for Elvis stories, and Kevin sent his story in, and it got in the paper. Again, you know, Las Vegas would do things like that for the paper. Let me think of some of my other concert stories. Gosh. Or I'll remember it at midnight, and I'll have to instant message.
No, we'll just have to come and record you again soon.
That's true. There could be some more stuff, but there's a lot that we covered, I think.
It's over 2 hours now, so.
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock.
before I finish, though, I do want to finish on, now, Sue, this time next year, we are going to go on another road trip. Where are you going to take me?
Oh, because we did such a fantastic trip in Arizona. You've been to Kid Galahad. Oh, I wish I could get you in to do Kissing Cousins. I haven't been back there in forever. And my wonderful memory of that is I actually got to take Cynthia Pepper there. I was with a few friends, and we didn't get to go to her place where she had flipped Elvis over at the Jeep because it was flooded out. So I keep thinking, God, I'd like to take her back someday. My German friend in Hamburg, he wants to come here in August, and he had mentioned this for May, but he had to cancel, of seeing all of Elvis's houses. And I went, that's great, and recording studios. And I said, I could also take you to Palm Springs. I need to look up where different movies were filmed. I said, we got to go to Thousand Oaks. That's where Roustabout was filmed. You know, all these little things trickling in my mind. I don't know where all the places were where Elvis was in Los Angeles. There's a friend of mine that does, so I'm going to have to pick her brain if she ever gets the chance.
Well, I got to say that road trip that, you know, we did in 2014, those few days were just, it was like a dream. I still feel like floating, and
it was the best. And this is what I want to say on this show. When we were walking around where the Apache Land Ranch used to be, where they filmed all these things. And I'm taking you around to this area, and there was water there. And I was describing to you the scene where Elvis captures the horse. And I remember I loaned you a cowboy hat so you wouldn't get burnt. And you look at the area, and you look at me, and you look at the area, and then boom, the recognition that came on your face. The look of joy on your face. I will never forget that. Oh, my God, because you realize, oh, this is it, and I recognize it. That was the best.
Do you know the other funny one I tell people is in Sedona when we were out the front of Stayaway Joe. In the movie, it was a bank, but when we were there, it was a clothing store. But you could
a t-shirt store.
But you could see on the door handle that you could see the outline of the
still
bank.
Yes, had the bank.
Yeah, and we were going nuts about this because Stayaway Joe was on TV here not long ago, and I was telling everybody.
That's right.
And we're taking photos of this door handle, and the lady in the shop's like, "What the hell are you doing?" So we had to rush it. Elvis was here.
I don't remember that. That is cool to remember. The other thing I remember is when we were in Cottonwood itself, and you're saying, this is where Sonny crossed the street. And I had to think about it a little bit. I went, yeah, you're right. You know, and this is where Elvis was in the Cadillac with all the girls. And this was in the background of when he was doing this and that. And
you can see down the street there where we stayed. But there's sort of what that
street. Yeah, then there was the hotel that we were in. They were trying to say some kind of story about it. But like I told you, we're standing there in front of the hotel. I was like, think back to 1968. Some of these buildings weren't even here. Look at how old this hotel is. Then we found the building that was the little snack shop where Elvis went in to get cigars. And this is the picture that Sandy Miller took. What was unfortunate was that for you is that I had been there a few years ago with Sue McCaslin I went with another friend of mine too at another time. The car dealer where Elvis traded in the horse, it was still there. It's something else now, and then they paint it. And when we saw the gift shop, it still looked the same. Unbelievable. The sign was still there, the same colors, everything, except it had become a lawyer's office. And all I can, you know, look at my old pictures and say, that was very lucky I went there when I did. I think of when we went to Apache Junction, where Elvis filmed Charo, and I showed you what was still there. I thank God for all the trips I went there with Sue McCaslin, because the building was still standing, and they were doing some deconstruction, taking it apart. And I found, because I was looking very hard through all of this junk, it was pretty icky, I was looking for the emergency map on the door. I was hoping to get the number of the door where he had stayed. Couldn't find, or had already been ripped off, because when they were closing down the hotel, they auctioned everything, and yes, of course, anything with Elvis was gone. Well, I didn't know about that I had found the emergency map until I got back to the car, and I was inventorying everything, and there was the room number, and I start jumping up and down and screaming, saying, "I got it! I got it!" So I was able to save that. I'll tell you what, though, and I learned a lot from Sue about be bold. Do the adventure because you'll regret it later. So we're walking through this dark building, stepping on glass. I had to hold her hand. I'm talking really quiet. She goes, "There's nobody here. Why are you whispering?" And we climbed up the stairs, and we made it to the suite where Elvis stayed in. I want to say earlier when we were walking around, we were walking in a certain direction, and she goes, "Sue, turn around," and I recognize from a picture the stairwell that Elvis had walked up to go to his room. I remember just slapping my face with my hands going, "Oh my God, that's it. We're standing there looking right at," I mean, just like, you know, like you were at that pond, to be where he was and recognize it. Unbelievable. And of course I had to take pictures of me standing in the same spot. So we make it up to the suite where he slept at, took a bunch of pictures. We sat in the tub, you know, we stole hangers from all the closets, you know, we collect everything. So it's near sunset, and we're standing there looking out the window and talking. Wonder what it was like for Elvis when he was here and what he would have seen and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, we both feel something, and we say to each other, "He's here." And she felt it stronger than me because she'd had more interaction with him, but we knew he was there. And she said, "He's got to be laughing at us and saying, how crazy are you two guys? And we start laughing at ourselves too. And we could really imagine it. And to me, twilight is a magical time. So it just made so much sense. And then before we knew it, yeah, he was gone.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Elvis Cast. Subscribe or follow the show on your podcast platform of choice. Just search for Elvis Cast. All the links and contact information can be found on my website, elviscast.com.
If you'd like more information about this episode's special guest, check out the show notes in the description. Thanks for listening to The Elvis Cast.